All these leftover feelings, written by Decca's Defying Gravity and read by Sunkitten Shash. An Only Friends genfic, rated G. Summary. Sand and Ray get accidentally cock-blocked in Ray's car by a friend in distress. Again. I know I could have been a better man, but I always had to have the upper hand. I'm struggling to see the better side of me, but I can't. The rooftop is theirs, kissing in Ray's car in the starlight. And he's leaning into Sand and feeling both their smiles and thinking maybe the world is theirs too, when they hear a door open somewhere behind them and pull apart. Ray turns and sees Boston putting something into the back of his car. Nick isn't with him. He looks drooped and lost, like he had earlier when Mew had dug at him, and like he hadn't when Nick had arrived. He turns in his seat to watch as Boston closes that back door, a little way across the roof. Leaving me all alone in your car again? Always running off for a friend in distress, Sand says, pulling Ray's attention back to him and his fond smile. Ray blinks and remembers a time after a different party, kissing in this car, and he says, I'm not doing... Go. I'll take the car back. He's still caught in the space between the two parties. Only a few months, and everything in the world has changed, as he feels a swift and not unexpected surge of trembling love towards Sand, who hasn't changed at all, except in how he's smiling this time. Sand strokes his jaw with a barely there, gentle caress. Leans in once to brush his lips over Ray's just as lightly, and adds, quickly, before he drives away. Taking out the AirPod, he looks at it, then puts it into Sand's ear and smiles at the way he shakes his head. Ray runs up to the car. It's just starting as he opens the door and slides into the passenger seat and says, Uncle Boom's ice cream? What? That's the worst sign yet. Not even a what the fuck. Boston is just blinking at him in unaggressive confusion, instead of trying to push him out of the still-open car door. He does that New Year sale where the bowls are like buckets and he won't stop you if you try to mix stupid flavors, Ray says. Come on, I'll pay. A smile has caught about half of Boston's mouth when he says... Where the fuck's your boyfriend, man? Take him out. Ray puts on his seatbelt. Conveniently, Sand takes that opportunity to start Ray's car, pull backwards out of the space, and slowly drive behind Boston's. He gives a little finger wave through the window, and Ray leans out of the door to wave back. When he gets back inside, he closes it and says, He just left. Yeah, Boston says, kind of sarcastic, but the smile has grown a little more. Shrugging, Ray says, Yeah, ice cream? Boston gives in. It's their personal hangout spot, separate from the other two, so it's not like they're going to run to Mew and Top there now they've left. Not April and Chum either. Because they for sure have food back there, and they won't want to run around. That's probably why Boston actually drives the right way. He tells Ray, after a couple of minutes of the radio's quiet soundtrack, Nick wouldn't take it. What wouldn't he take? Ray looks at Boston's face, his clenched jaw and eyes on the road, and doesn't add, You were supposed to wait until ice cream, man. Boston shrugs in the painful, stiff way that never seems as unbothered as he means, because he's kind of like Ray, where he can never hide the feelings he most wants to, and he says, It's in the back seat. Probably unsafe, and definitely annoying to the driver, Ray immediately turns around and wriggles and stretches until he can pick up the large rectangular black object the Boston must have been stowing away when Ray spotted him. It, he discovers, is a photograph. In the bedroom with Boston, he thinks, followed by Ho-Ton. He's heard more about Nick and Boston's whole thing from Nick than he ever did from Boston, and that's earth-shaking in its own way. There had been a time when he and Boston told each other about every hookup, in the exact same ice cream place they're headed to now. But of course Ray hadn't told him about Sand, and Boston hadn't told him about Nick, and then neither of them had been telling the other anything at all. Certainly they hadn't told each other sorry. But now Boston has, and Ray thinks about the things Nick told him, and how romantic Boston had seemed to him, and he looks at the photo and sees him for the first time. Boston, the romantic. Boston, the boyfriend. Probably not the second one anymore.
It's really nice,
he tells him, after being quiet for too long. Boston takes nearly as long to say,
but Nick didn't want it.
Yeah. Ray holds it in his lap for the rest of the drive. The ice cream place is not normally a late-night one, actually, but New Year sales are New Year sales, and Uncle Boom is a businessman. There's still a queue, even though it's... Oh, wow. Had Ray been running around with Sand for that long? He can never tell how long it's been, when Sand is there, all time measurement abilities suspended so he can focus on more important things, but he's still a little surprised. Anyway, the people in front of them seem to be two different groups, so Ray says,
You should find a table. I'll order.
Fuck off, Boston says, almost before he's done speaking. I know what fucking flavors you'll try to get. I'm staying here so I can tell Uncle Boom to ignore you.
I'm paying, Ton.
Mango and mint chocolate is a fucking disgusting.
I'm adding bubblegum, actually.
And Ray generously lets Boston win this time, because he's taking Boston out for a reason. But he still makes sure, as they sit down at one of the plastic tables added specifically for the New Year sale, to say,
If you mix them, the flavors are kind of like the bubblegum vodka martini Plug makes.
Liar, Boston laughs, over their enormous, two-spooned bowl.
He takes a spoonful of Boston's inferior selection. Whenever they needed to gossip about hookups, any time back before the two birthday parties that changed everything, he and Boston would come here. The ice cream is good, and nobody would be wrinkling their noses or nagging about being careful, when either of them brought up, like, choking, or even just not remembering someone's name. After about half a minute, Boston says through a mouthful,
Did you mean it?
Oh, they're starting, he thinks.
Mean what?
Because it could be about him thinking the picture is nice, or something he said at the party, or even the fact he got in Boston's car at all. Not on that list is Boston's,
You said you wanted to quit drinking.
Oh, that. It had gone better than he'd hoped for, bringing it up with them. Chum not being there, he thinks guiltily, probably helped, because Mew hadn't questioned him or openly doubted him or anything like that. But he'd known telling them all had to come eventually, and of course there are questions. Mew is probably going to be hurt if he ever realizes Ray's already started trying. The other two, he's practiced explaining to them with his therapist, who wants him to lay it out clearly and try not to feel like he's presenting a legal defense. With Boston, it's simpler. Yeah, he shrugs, taking another spoonful. I figured them all, even my dad, actually,
them being annoying and mean about it doesn't mean they're always wrong, you know?
It's not because your boyfriend went on a sex strike until you agreed. I could tell he wasn't surprised when you said it. Ray snorts. Sand couldn't keep one up.
Yeah.
And they're laughing easily, Boston making a leering face and keeping it up as he faux seductively licks his spoon, and Ray flips him off. But then Boston goes quiet, brow furrowed as he looks at the table. It's hard to hear his next words over the sounds of loud, drunk conversation at the other tables.
That doesn't mean they're always wrong. About me, too.
Oh, right. The others and the things they can sometimes be mean and annoying about. Boston's always been one of those. And Ray could give a knee-jerk, casual answer, and it could be, yes, you fucked his boyfriend, Ton. Of course they aren't wrong about you. But it could also be, nah, we're cool. But instead, he tries to think about it, because this is for Boston. So he tilts his head and looks through the window at the nighttime city and says, they aren't always wrong about you, no.
Always? Boston asks, following Ray.
This is the time for him to say it. I'm sorry I backed Chum up. It never sounded like something you'd do, and I think Mew always knew that. He wasn't expecting himself to say the part about Mew. Where did that come from? Boston's face says he wasn't expecting it either, mouth parted and eyes fixed on him. And it sucks about you and Nick, he adds.
Fuck you, Boston says. I'm not talking about that. Let's talk about how our friends hate me.
He's laughing, but Ray can see he means it. Nothing about Nick. Ray moves his chair around the corner of the table, shuffles it up so he's right next to Boston, and presses their legs together, elbowing him a little so he elbows back, and says, I mean, I don't think Chum hates you. With a sharp laugh, Boston elbows him again and says nothing. No, for real. Mew was being all bitchy to you earlier, but Chum wasn't joining in at all, he says. It feels rude to say it about Mew, but Ray doesn't think he's wrong, even if he also doesn't think Mew was wrong to be bitchy. It's, like, complicated. This is probably what Mew feels like when he's trying to navigate everyone's beef with Top. A hug. Boston sighs, long and world-weary like he's not sitting in front of a chocolate, coffee, and lime ice cream bucket, and he tilts his head back and stares at the ceiling and says,
she only feels bad for saying I turned Adam gay.
She wouldn't feel bad if she still hated you, though, Ray agrees, pointing at him with his spoon and dripping a little of the ice cream onto Boston's lap. He doesn't seem to notice, still looking to the ceiling, as Ray adds, when are you leaving for New York? Do you have an apartment? This sigh is somehow even more world-weary.
It's going to take fucking forever, he starts complaining, suddenly animated.
As he explains the problems that come with trying to move up his original visa plans, Ray realizes this is a conversation he can actually understand, even though it's about practical stuff. That's a first for him. Of course, it's because of his plans with Sand. They go back and forth about visas and how stupid they are for a while, before Ray turns to the most important thing about this revelation and says,
so that's a couple months where we can still hang, then.
Boston snorts, leans back in his chair, and nudges Ray's knee with his own.
I was planning on spending the time busy, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Hell yeah. Bar hopping, he counts off on his fingers. Taking photos. Mostly fucking any guy in the city I haven't already. so that means you don't qualify to hang with me.
Ray kicks him, and Boston kicks him back and gets him in a loose headlock. And if Ray actually tries to get out, he'll knock over the chairs. So he elbows him lightly and says, "Asshole, let me up," until Boston laughingly does.
"You're fine with him being mad at you for it." Boston trails off without quite making it into a question, but Ray sees where he's going.
He sits up and says, "Mew makes his own decisions, but he wasn't mad at Choom."
They look at each other, and Ray thinks he sees some relief in Boston's eyes at the answer, barely there in the reflection of the window.
Ray bites his lip and looks out of the window, too.
"Me and Sand want to travel," he adds to the darkness. "We might see New York one day."
"Yeah?"
"Yeah." The end. Thanks for listening.
When you tell me I'm a wreck.